And I really felt this is just a community of abundance. And this is so much nicer to live in a world of abundance, more now in this crisis situation or in difficult situation when you feel everything is limited, and then to get connected with this world of possibilities again.
That is Simply Focused with Elva Czerny and Dominic Gilda for Live and Joy and Deep.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Czerny and Dominic Godin.
Hello and welcome back to the Simply Focus podcast. This is episode number 93, and we are here with Petra Müller-Demarie.
Hello, Petra. It's so great to have you here today. Thank you.
I'm very happy to be with you.
You're in Romania right now. We are in Switzerland, and we speak together on Zoom, which is the beauty of technology. And yeah, we are very excited to have this conversation with you. We know each other for many years. You were actually there when Dominic and I met for the first time. Yeah, Petra, you're a solution-focused coach working with individuals, groups, and organizations. You're the founder of Solution Surface Romania. You're originally from Germany, but live in Romania for many, many years and feel very European.
Yes, I'm originally from Köln. This is also where my heart is, and I love the Kölner Carnival. Either you hate it or you love it. And I'm living for over 20 years now in Romania because I met a special man who was born here, and he brought me as a souvenir. And I really love to travel and work in Europe and work in many countries. And I'm happy to have through the SOAP community so many good friends all over the place. So I really feel home all over Europe.
So lucky Romania, lucky Germany, lucky Europe, and lucky us that we can have you here on our podcast today. Talking about soul community, you have organized many soul conferences, retreats, soul CE conferences, and are now organizing the soul CE conference in November in Timișoara.
Yes, Petra, what is it that fascinates you about solution focus?
Maybe what I would like to add on what you just said about the community is when I discovered actually the solution-focused approach, I learned in Germany. I mean, this is where I'm from. That's where I did my trainings. But I was living already in Romania. And I felt so alone here because there was nobody who spoke my language. I don't mean the language of German or English in Romania. People speak wonderful languages here. They're really talented. But nobody spoke the solution-focused language. And it became so dear for me because I really recognized how it changed my life, how it changed for me how to look at life, how to look at situations, how to deal with difficult situations. And it was so important for me to have a community I always could reach out to. And that was such an important part for me to have my coaching buddies, to have the conferences, to encourage me to go on like this and to really integrate it more and more into my life, that now I cannot do anything then in a solution-focused way. It really was my desire to live more in this spirit of looking more what is working, seeing more resources, living more with lightness and also with a better connection with myself and with a better connection and appreciation of people around me. And it was so important for me that I said, I want to bring this conference to Romania. Sometimes I use this metaphor. I felt like a single carrot, you know, in a big pot of water, and there was no other vegetable next to me. Because I know how important it was for my own development. And then I did the first conference in 2010 in Bucharest. And I did it so enthusiastic together with my friend Rita Klemmeyer, who lives in Munich, and we are very close friends, both are solution-focused coaches. And we did it together because there was nobody in Romania with whom I could organize it together. And we had more than 100 participants. We had 20 people coming from Japan, and we had just 5 people coming from Romania. And I was so frustrated. And then I thought, I did all this work. It was a beautiful conference, but nevertheless. And then there was one dear colleague, also you know him, Klaus Schenk, he said, Petra, it's not about the quantity of people. It's the quality of people who are there. And I thought, yeah, Klaus is nice to hear. But then 3 years later, I started to bring the Solution Surfers trainings to Romania. That was in 2013 when I started with the school, the accredited training. And I did it in Bucharest the first time. There was an email I got from Timișoara, and there was somebody said, could you also do a training in Timișoara? And I said, I have never been there. How could I do that? I know. And they said, well, we can organize a group for you. And I said, okay. So within 5 weeks, you know, they organized the group. And you know, it's not easy to organize an open training normally. And I was so surprised. And I asked you, how come you were so convinced, you know, that you want to have this training here, this solution-focused coaching? And this guy said, you know, you organized 3 years a conference, and a friend of mine was there. And she came here with sparkling eyes. And she said, this is something what we have to learn. So whenever this is going to happen in Romania, get these people here to Timișoara. And now Timișoara is a really a growing community. And 2 years ago, 2018, did a SOLT CEE conference, so the SOLT conference for Central East Europe. And we had 140 participants. We had more than 100, I think, that came from Romania. And half of them were new people who had not been in contact with Solution Focus before. So things are growing. It's a little bit like drojdie, as you say in Romanian. This is yeast. So it's a little bit like yeast. You just need a little bit of it, put it into the flour, water, good conditions that it can grow. And it just grows and grows and grows and makes wonderful pizza or cake or whatever you want to do with that.
And the beginning, you have to wait for a while.
That's the tough part, yes.
So how did you do it, the waiting part?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I think therefore the community was so important for me, really. To recharge my batteries again and again. To help also to reconnect with my vision of what is actually what I would like to achieve is the wrong words. How do I like to live things? And to recognize, actually, I did so many, many, many things in between. The solution-focused approach helps. And that's different about goal setting. That's so different. You know, my goal is to have this conference or to build this community. Well, it didn't happen overnight. But when I asked for, so suppose you have this community and you have built it, what difference would that make for you? And I say, well, I could live my life more with joy. I have friends with whom I can share. I can do nice projects, you know. I have more confidence in what I want to build. And all this, you can find in other ways. You know, it's not that in reaching the goal, but to build the preferred future is something which is so much bigger and which enlarges opportunities and which invites opportunities. Actually, because I was traveling more abroad to Switzerland, to Germany, to Austria, Belgium, Holland, where all my many, many friends are now also from the community. And I think that was also a very positive side effect that at the beginning, I didn't find it in the country I have chosen to live. That I was then reaching out for people outside of this country. And there's a beautiful network now of friends. And that's also how we all came together, that we have this conversation today.
Yes, indeed.
You're talking about the community and how the community was helpful for you in approaching your preferred future of living solution focused. And I wonder, what was your contribution on this way? And yeah, what was particularly helpful from all the things you did?
There is this nice saying, we really stand on the shoulders of others. And that is something what I really appreciate in the soul community, what I have experienced, that there is a lot of respect and more than respect. A lot of appreciation, a lot of sharing, an enormous generosity, really, of sharing with knowledge, sharing with the resources, supporting one another. And this is something what is, yeah, very important for me, very important values. And I really felt this is just a community of abundance. And this is so much nicer to live in a world of abundance. More now in this crisis situation or in difficult situation when you feel everything is limited, and then to get connected with this world of possibilities again. And that is something what I really like also in this discussion group, when somebody puts in a question, something, a project, somebody starts something, that they're really from all over the world, really from literally all over the world, there are people coming and proposing something, sharing resources. And this is so beautiful to know that there is so much out there. And therefore, it is so important for me. That's something I would like to share more, this mindset, not only with coaches, but really that this is something that gets into our everyday communication much more, and that we are getting infected with this. Maybe this should be the virus. I really would wish this is spreading more, and it's very contagious, and it is contagious. I see that. A lot of my thinking when I'm thinking about what can I do more, what can we do new, is, of course, I'm working as a coach in one-to-one setting, and I work as a consultant, but more of how can I bring this kind of thinking, really, how can I bring other people in touch with this so that they discover it and use it.
So one of the things I hear very clearly that you did is reaching out to this community, connecting actively with the community, making Zoom calls with people, or like going there, visiting them, and have these conversations about solution focus and connecting through that.
talking about that, what is possible, talking about opportunities, talking about a preferred future. Somebody who works in HR, he once asked me, he does recruitment, he's not a coach. And he said, as a coach, you have such a difficult job because you're listening to the problems of people all day long and you have to solve their issues. And I thought, that's not what I do. I listen to the dreams. I listen to what people would desire, what they would like to achieve, how would they love to live. I'm listening to the resources, what are the potential, what are the options and opportunities. And this is something what I sometimes I call looking for the jewels in the dust. Of course, people come in the stories when they're telling there's a lot of difficulties and things are not working. But as a coach, to listen to that, what is in between? What are the resources? What are the qualities? What are the talents? And to see that and also make it visible again. This is so beautiful. And often I really get out of this coaching conversation with so much energy. So it's not draining my energy. It gives energy. And this is something what I think gives lightness into life. And that's what I'm happy if more people get infected by that.
We've been to at least 10 soul conferences and retreats together. And we always see and saw you sharing this metaphor, for example, with the jewels and the dust, also sharing your idea with the Solution Cafe or sharing your experience with constellations and combining it with Solution Focus. There's so much that you bring into those conferences, and wherever and whenever we meet, we leave inspired with and by you.
And I guess a lot of people might be curious now what the Solution Cafe is.
So the Solution Cafe is something that I have developed together with my colleague Ian Petey, with whom I work here together in Romania. And it was starting from this idea of that we saw how useful these coaching conversations are, how useful it is to have asking questions, to listen and to give positive feedback. And then we have developed a game which is, makes it accessible for really everybody. You have to be not a coach. Everybody can do that, really everybody. And it's a very simple card game. On these cards, you find solution-focused questions, and they're so general that they fit on any topic. And it's a game that people sit together in groups of 3 to 4 around the table. One person takes a little symbol. This is my time now to share something which is on my mind. This person has 10 minutes time to think from a topic of different perspectives. And the others in the group, the other 3 people, when they're groups of 4, they're asking the solution-focused questions on the cards in whatever, which question they think is the most useful to ask. And beside asking questions and listening very carefully to the story of the person, the second task what they have is to listen, what are the competences, what are the qualities this person has. And before the talking stick moves on to the next person, these 3 people, they will feedback, what do they see, what the person is doing well, what are their positive assumptions about the person. It's not a feedback, it's really sharing positive assumptions, because we always make assumptions. We have this incredible ability as human beings, because that makes us possible to connect with other people. And it is so beautiful to see when people come together, we make it as open networking events. When people come together, they don't know one another at all. And in 1 hour, just when, you know, a conversation of 10 minutes, a little bit of feedback, it's about 1 hour. Everybody had this time to think. We call it, it's a time to think. It's not solving problem. It's not coaching. It's you give the other person time to think, and the questions help to focus the thinking. And it's so beautiful how the whole atmosphere changes in the room. You see how after a long day, people start to smile more, how they connect more. And they really say when they go after this meeting, it was really like a breath of fresh energy. And we see how much we need this now, especially when things are difficult and there's a lot of pressure in the job. There's a lot of stress, and that I enjoy very much. And it's funny, sometimes when I'm hosting the event and then it doesn't work out, you know, then there's just 2 people sitting and it's not enough. So I go into this group then. And it always works, you know. I'm hosting my own event, and I'm a guest and a participant, and sometimes I think, I just do it for the sake of the exercise. But it doesn't matter, you know, it always works. Somebody asks you these beautiful questions of, you know, how would you recognize that this conversation was useful? And what do your friends and colleagues, what do they appreciate at you? And what have you done in a similar situation? All these beautiful questions, you know, they fit on any topic, and you go out after 10 minutes and you have some good energy. You maybe didn't find the solution, but that's not the point. But you have a different kind of looking at it, and you have more energy. And from this different energy, something can emerge and can develop.
So really having different kind of conversations.
Yeah.
You've been doing that for many years, and you do that in cafes, you do that in restaurants, you do that wherever. It's been spreading around the world. So we see it here in Switzerland, for example, the Network of Solution-Focused Work, where Anna-Julia Szabo is doing that when the Network of Solution-Focused Work is doing network events. And there are others that we know that really appreciate this format. And you can find the Solution Cafe cards in the resource section of our podcast. So go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to episode number 93.
And you will find the cards not only in English, but in many different languages. So thank you very much for making this resource available. And also thank you to everyone who helped translating the cards in so many different languages.
Yes, I'm so happy we have them in Greece, in Swedish and Finnish, and even in Chinese now.
You've also been well known in the Soul community for combining constellation work and solution focus. I remember workshops and demonstrations that you did, for example, at the summer retreats or at Soul conferences, and always with this light touch and just in an everyday way.
So what is it that you love about combining solution focus and constellation work?
Yes, it's something that really fascinates me. Actually, I started 2002. I learned with Matthias Wager von Kiebet and Insa Sparra. I learned this systemic structured constellation, this approach. And it really fascinates me because we always construct reality. So when I'm looking, for example, at a certain topic, for example, I have a certain relationship with a friend. Maybe we have a nice project together, but we're fighting about it at the moment. And I could say, looking at this as a system, so it's my friend, it's me, and it's the project we are fighting around. And now when I'm working with this in a constellation way, I'm using the language of space. That means I choose these three elements, which I recognize these are important elements in the system, and I really literally put them in space. I give them a position. And it is a difference how I position them. And now it's a little bit difficult because I cannot show with my hands, but if you just imagine you have two elements and they're facing one another, it is different than when they're looking in the same direction. There's a different information in that. And this is what you're working with in constellations. This is the language of space. And what I like so much, so constellation work and solution-focused work, there is not necessary that they have something in common. They're two different approaches. But for me, it is so you can work with a constellation in a very problem-focused way. But I really liked also how Matthias and Insa integrated this, that when you work with it in a solution-focused way, and from the very beginning, you bring the resources in that, it really helps us to look from a topic from outside. This is what I like about the constellation work, that you can really look from it outside and you can better understand what is the dynamic that we have here. And what I very much enjoy is when you combine solution-focused work and the constellation work, that means the language of the space, that literally you can ask the client to find a place, and where would you say is the place where the miracle has happened? And then the client chooses a place, and you ask the person when the person stands on the chosen miracle place. So what is different here when you're looking at the topic from that perspective? And it's unbelievable. Really, how when you're standing at a different place, how you perceive things different, how you experience things different. And I think what I like so much about combining the solution-focused approach and the constellation work is that you can work with the whole body, with the perception of the whole body. Because when you're looking at it, sometimes we feel our body is more or less a container that carries around our precious brain. And the me is more or less the brain. But the body is so much more, you know. There's so many information that we know now that we have all. So very complex nervous system in the guts. So some people call it even a brain we have in the guts. And there's more information that flows from this nervous system to our brain in the head than it goes in the other direction. And we can use all these senses, this ability of experience a situation when we're working with constellations, because it's not just something that you describe. Sometimes I say when we ask a solution-focused question, when we ask, for example, the preferred future question to a client, I describe it sometimes as a metaphor. You're creating a movie in your head when you're the director, you're the actor, and you're the observer at the same time. And this is very, very powerful because for our brain, it doesn't make a difference if I actually experience something or if I just imagine to experience something. There have been many studies made on that, how close the experience and how close the impact is also on our behavior afterwards. creating this movie is one thing by asking the question and asking, but when you literally ask the person to go to a place where he also more experiences, because you position yourself differently, there are even more possibilities that emerging out of that.
I can hear your fascination.
Yes, I like, you know, when we construct reality, we can reconstruct it. You know, that's also something I really like when Matthias said this once, Matthias Wager von Kiebet, from whom I learned, he said, when you experience it once, and it's really a literal experience of the solution state or the preferred future state, and that's what you have in the end picture from the constellation, you cannot say it's not possible anymore. That's over. And that makes a huge difference.
It's co-constructed, so
yes,
to say.
Co-constructed, exactly, yes.
And this co-construction takes place on several levels. On the one hand, you see it in the room where you see the constellation. And it's also this, like you said before, this construction of reality in language and how we use language. So this is also something very fascinating for me to see the combination of solution focus and constellation work as a construction in several layers.
And I recently had a coaching where a coachee reminded me so beautiful that just standing up is a change in our posture. And in German, it's this double meaning of stance and posture. So it's literally a change of posture and stance when you get up and move, right? So a lot of people might know constellation work and might think now, okay, well, if I do constellation work, I need an hour or two to make the whole thing working. And you also share a lot of ideas how to use constellation work in how you and Rita Klemmeyer call it micro constellations. So I wonder, how do you use them in shorter periods of time?
So Rita and I, we have developed a training we call Micro Constellations, which is for people who are already coaches and therapists. So it's not a training for people who are starting. You need to know how to have presence, how to hold the space, and how to facilitate a conversation. And in this training, we teach people the language of the space. So actually how you can, in a very simple way, integrate step by step elements of constellation. And of course, I mean, I have done a training which was 4 years with 90 days. Yes. And there is a lot of theory also behind it. And I very much value that. And I think it is a very precious method also where we have to be careful. Yeah, especially because you're working with what is this dynamic which becomes visible in the system. But I think when we work with a solution-focused way, then we can work in a very safe way with constellations, because you really add this new ability of using the space, really using the body, the experience of the body that we have, and using this in a solution-focused way, you can integrate that. And that's what you step-by-step we learn. We have 4 models of 2 days developed, which build up on one another. So where you learn different formats. One of the formats is the tetralemma that you can use for decision-making, which I also learned from Matthias and Insa. And or others is, for example, for conflict situation or other special situations, how care can use special formats. And that means really kind of positioning different elements. And then you can just work with that and really just ask the questions you know how to ask, but you ask the client the question standing on different places, and just that makes a difference. That just makes a difference when we're standing on different places. It's called representative perception that we have when we're standing on a different place for a certain element. Yeah, it's amazing for me again and again. It's a nice example that just comes into my mind. I had a coaching conversation with a manager just a couple of weeks ago, and he came and he said he was very frustrated. He said, you know, I think I have to leave this department. He was working for the purchasing department for a big company. And he said, I have a new boss and this boss doesn't trust me, because he always wants to be in the meetings together with the suppliers. And that's for me a sign that he doesn't trust me. And when we talked a little bit later, he said, well, the former boss, he was corrupt. And he did business under the table. And I think that my new boss, he believes I was involved in this. I was not. I was totally not involved in this. But I think when he insists that he wants to come to the meetings with the suppliers, this is for me a sign that he doesn't trust me, and I cannot work with somebody that he doesn't trust. That was his construction of reality. And then we worked with a constellation, and in this system, he defined himself. It was, of course, himself. It was the new boss. But in this system, also very important are the suppliers and the old boss, yeah, and the business the old boss makes. And when he positioned these 4 elements, so the suppliers, himself, the new boss and the old boss. He placed them in the room and I asked him to go on all these places. And then standing on these places, you look on the other elements. You know, for example, when he was standing on the place of the suppliers, he said, you know, as a supplier, I recognize this game that I had with the old boss. I think I can introduce this into this company. And then I asked my client while he was standing on the position of the suppliers, I've asked him, and what difference does it make if the manager of the purchasing department comes with his boss? And he said, then I don't have a chance. And in this moment, it made click. And he recognized, I have to invite my new boss to the meetings with the suppliers because I make my life so much more easy. And then we talked a little bit how he can do this and how he can prepare this and so on. And then when he came the next time, I asked him, so how are things going with your new boss? And he said, was there a problem? And he was on the edge to leave the company.
This is a really beautiful example of the effects, the introduction of language of space can have in a coaching setting.
Rita and I, we have written a small article about this, how to use microconstellations in coaching sessions. So there's some more examples also in that.
So we are happy to put that in the resource section.
What is the micro in microconstellation all about?
Yes, the micro constellation, because the method of constellation is quite complex and we have made it very accessible so that there are small elements of constellation principles in coaching conversations that you already know how to facilitate. And there are small elements what you can use and that you can build up on and integrate so that you don't need to have the whole methodology of constellations. But nevertheless, you can use it and you can integrate it in a very useful way for the client.
So really something an experienced coach can do right away and can do in his next coaching with his clients.
Because constellation work can be really done in very, very many ways. Mostly you use it in group settings where you work with representatives for the different elements that the client has in the system. And that can be very complex work, which I love to do. But I think in many situations, you have one-to-one settings with your client. So how can you use the language of the space, as I like to call it, how can you use it in these sessions that you have with your clients in everyday interactions?
And you're not only working with one-to-one clients, but also with groups and organizations. So what is it that you especially like or love about the work with teams and or organizations?
Actually, I like very much to work with teams, to do team coaching. So when the focus of the project is how can we improve the interactions and the collaboration of the team? And I think really that the solution-focused approach has an unbelievable value in that. I just have worked with a team a couple of months ago, and when we prepare for the workshop, I do solution-focused interviews with the team members to see how we can design that day, so make it really, really useful for the people. So we ask solution-focused questions about what would be useful for them and what they would like to see different, and also what they appreciate actually already in the organization and in the team. It was at the board of the factory, and with some of the team members, the one who was responsible for the production, the engineer, he said, no, we don't need this stuff. Actually, it's just a waste of time. You know, we don't have problems here. I mean, people have conflicts, but this is just the way it is. I don't think it makes sense that we sit together a whole day. Okay, we listened to this. I asked him the questions, and then we prepared the day. Because obviously there was something that at least some in the team, they wanted to change. They said, yeah, we need that because we would really like to work better together. And then we worked this day in a very solution-focused way. So asking about what you appreciate, what is working, how do you actually manage your challenges? What is something that you see that other people contribute to the success of the company? Because there is some success. It's functioning. How would it look like when you are a dream team and things are really working very well? So all these questions that we ask when we're working in a solution-focused way with teams. And then at the end of the day, we made a closing round and I asked, so what do you take out of this day? What was useful? What is the difference now? And this engineer from the production, he said, with tears in his eyes, I didn't know that my colleagues love me so much. And he didn't say like me. He didn't say appreciate. He said they love me so much. You could sense it that in the team, something has changed. That the human connection started to come in again. Before they were discussing about, you know, we shouldn't make emails with 20 people in CC. All these things, what happens in organizations. We make a rule, you know, we don't make these emails anymore. And we try to make a certain procedure that we have to deal in this way. It just disappeared because there is this human connection that people feel accepted. They feel really care for one another. It's not always possible. You know, you cannot make this happen. sometimes it's not happening in a day. You cannot make it. You know this as a coach. You cannot make things. But when there is this appreciation and care, and I even call it love, and people, I think, want to work in good conditions together, and they also want to work with people that they like and that they appreciate, they prefer that, and they also want to work with people they can trust. And when you create the space that this is possible, that can be expressed, that so much is possible. And I had another team that we did a follow-up session then after a workshop. And the production manager, he said, actually, the biggest difference was that we moved from a team with no hope. This is impossible to work properly together. That was the starting point. Actually, that was the last chance he gave the team. Said, now we are in it together. We are really well connected. And that is beautiful when you see this change happening. And after this day, what impressed me so much is there's a very nice sentence that Peter Sabo once says, I'm not so much concerned that you will not change. I'm more worried that you will change, but you will not recognize it. Yeah. So it is so important to recognize the change, to recognize the progress that people are making, and to give it space. And in this follow-up, which was just half a day, they came and I said, we didn't put everything in action, what we put in our to-do list, we were not so successful. But then we were looking, so what did you observe? What is different? What was different after this day? What did you observe at other people, what they would do? And there were so many things. It was so many things what they have done. And what was most beautiful, we made a round where each person received the feedback from all the others where they said, and what we saw that you contributed to the change was a group of 8 people. And it was a feedback session that took 1.5 hours. And that was so beautiful because there was also 2 people who could not participate because they were sick, and they recorded what they were talking about, these people, the change they had seen in the people, and then they sent it to them. They were at home and they were coming, sending the WhatsApp message with a lot of hearts and smileys coming back. They made their day. And these were people that were hardly talking to one another at the beginning. There was a lot of harshness and criticism between. And that's also what they said, now you're smiling sometimes and it's so much more easier to approach you. And I recognize you really listen to me. All these things you cannot put on a to-do list. They cannot put it as an action plan. Who is going to listen more and who is responsible for this? Like we do it in organizations, what has to change? Who is responsible till when? These things you cannot put there. But when this is happening, because there is a different interaction that happens on the spot with the team, it just changes something.
And I think this is a great summary of what we are doing in Solution Focus. You earlier mentioned you cannot make the connection, and yet you can invite it through asking different questions, through inviting people to a different kind of dialogue. And this makes a huge difference usually, and it helps so much to invite this connection.
So Petra, looking back at your Solution Focus journey of the last 15 years, there's one more thing that you have not yet mentioned that was really important that made a difference for you, maybe also for others, and that might also make a difference for people listening. What could that be?
Something that comes into my mind, that we don't need a problem to have a solution. And something what I recognize, I'm focusing less on the action steps. Also, when I'm working with teams, organizations want it, and we do it, and it's okay. It's an important part. But what I actually focus is more to create a frame where this human connection can last and can be fostered and grow more. And one of the exercises what I give them often as a homework is a good morning coaching. And that is also a challenge that I wanted to give.
So we're in the middle of the challenge of the week now.
Yes. So the challenge of the week is the good morning coaching. And a good morning coaching is that you sit together with somebody. It can be a colleague, it can be a friend, your husband or your wife or your daughter or your son. And you just ask the 4 questions. The first question is, what did you do yesterday that you're most satisfied with? The second question, how did you make a positive contribution to somebody else? The third question, what would you like to focus on today? And suppose you did, how would that make a difference? What would be the benefits? And the 4th question is, what can make this day a beautiful day in your life? And these questions, when you ask them yourself or you ask them somebody else, you don't need much time. You don't need a problem. But it's a very beautiful way how we can connect with one another. That's one. And the second is also that helps me to appreciate what I'm doing and to focus on what I would like to do and get more clarity. And I think that helps also to start the day with better energy. And when we ask these questions, we ask this S question in both directions, and then we listen very carefully and we give one tiny small positive feedback.
Thank you very much for this challenge. I'm very much looking forward to do that with you, Dominic, and also with Phoebe. I'm really curious what we will discover as a family.
So today we'll have a special evening with Bibiana, and the three of us will do what Adam Furr and his wife, Becca, do with their kids. So if you want to check this out, go to episode number 57 and see what we do tonight. And tomorrow morning, we'll enjoy your challenge of the week, dear Petra. And of course, we're curious how the challenge of the week goes for you, what you liked and what inspired you in this podcast. And we're very happy if we see the differences that this podcast episode makes for you. So go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to episode number 93.
And as usual, you will also find all the resources we mentioned and all the links to Petra's upcoming events in the resource section of this podcast. And please check them out. There are some really great things coming up, like the retreat you do with Lisela Bayat in Romania. So please go and check it out. There's a lot of abundance to discover.
And if you're also in a Corona retreat and have 3 weeks of time at home, like we do have in Switzerland, because there are no schools and public life comes more or less to a stop, then it might be a good chance to re-listen or listen to some more podcast episodes. A lot of people tell us that they could not listen to all of them yet because they were so busy working. Maybe now you might have time. It might even strengthen your confidence.
And talking about strengthening confidence, Dominic and I opened a room for confidence on Zoom, and we will also put the details there. So it's a room where you can connect with others, where we foster communication about what makes us confident in times of crisis, where we discover together what is working, where we put our focus on our preferred future and have a different kind of dialogue.
So go to www.sfontour.com/stayconfident, and there you'll find all the details about this group where you can join on Zoom from wherever you are right now.
Petra, thank you very, very much for being here with us today. Thank you for all the wonderful and really inspiring work you do, for your sharing, for your presence, for your being, and for your magical work. Goodbye.
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 Wow, what a great episode again. This was Simply Focused Podcast with Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godet.